Before we dive into our time in the Word in Psalm 22 today, I do want to point you to the insert that is in your bulletin really briefly. We have a couple of things that are coming up I want to make you aware of. One of those is our Fall Discipleship School. And so this is something we offer periodically throughout the year just as a way to deepen your walks with the Lord. And so there are two tracks this fall that go along with this. The first track is Financial Peace University. And so, of course, our finances are such a huge part of our life of discipleship. And if you've never had a chance to take this course, this would be a wonderful opportunity. And then the second track is a part of this discipleship school is something that we're just calling the God of the Old Testament. So if you have questions about God in the Old Testament, especially compared to Jesus in the New Testament, then we would love for you to join us for this track. Now, also on the back, there's information about all of this fall's women's ministry Bible studies. And so there's just an excellent selection of studies you can choose from, ladies, this fall. And so we invite you to take advantage of those. There are two tables out in the lobby as you leave today where you can sign up for either the discipleship school or the women's ministry studies, or you can also sign up online. All right, so we are going through this series we're calling God of All Seasons, where we have been in the book of Psalms. And in this series, we've kind of shown that all of the Psalms can essentially be put into one of three big categories. We have Psalms of praise, Psalms of chaos, and Psalms of hope. Last week, Jeremy took us through Psalm 150, which we saw ended the book of Psalms with a loud and joyful shout of praise. And we learned last week that giving God praise is something that we can and should do as followers of Jesus in every season of life. Praising God is not something that is dependent on our circumstances. This week, we're going to be in a pretty different kind of a psalm. This week, Psalm 22, we'll see, is a psalm of chaos for those difficult and painful and even dark times of life. And I hope from studying this psalm this morning that we will see that, yes, while we should praise God in every season of life, that doesn't mean that when we're going through a dark time, that we shouldn't acknowledge and feel and express to God the very real pain that we often experience in this broken world. Would you all pray with me as we go into this? Father, as we open your word this morning, as we open to this a psalm of chaos, we ask that you would meet us here, Lord. Meet us in the discomfort of this space, in our seasons of chaos, Lord, and bring transformation. I ask that you would help us to dwell in the tension of this psalm this morning, Lord. Help us to listen to a word from you, a word that you would speak to us, especially those of us, Lord, who are going through a difficult time in life right now. We offer this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. I'm going to make a completely subjective statement to begin our time this morning. All right, this is just my opinion, but I do happen to be right about this. Good music is music that knows how to write and sing and play a good sad song. Any country music fans in the house this morning? We got a few, all right? I'm kind of a moderate country fan myself. 90s country is sort of my sweet spot as far as country music goes. Of course, we live right outside of Music City, USA, here in Franklin, and country music has played such a key role in shaping the culture of our town and our area. And love it or hate it, country music wouldn't be country music if it wasn't for the classic sad country song, right? Country music has given us song titles like He Stopped Loving Her Today by George Jones, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain sung by Willie Nelson, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry by Hank Williams, One More Day by Diamond Rio. That one gets me right here. If We Make It Through December by Merle Haggard. Country music just wouldn't be what it is without songs like this, would it? Or how about this? Do we have any fans of the blues in the house this morning? All right, now I'm not talking about the St. Louis blues, all right? If you're a fan of those blues, you can leave. No, I'm talking about the B.B. King, Muddy Waters, Etta James kind of blues, right? The blues have also been hugely influential in our area and across the South, starting down in the Mississippi Delta, working their way up the river to Memphis and all the way up to Chicago and all the way across the country. And the blues have given us a lot of great sad songs too. Baby, Please Don't Go by Muddy Waters. Every Day I Have the Blues, The Thrill Is Gone, both by B.B. King. All I Could Do Was Cry by Etta James. Stormy Monday by T-Bone Walker. The blues are a whole style of music that are built on being in a situation of adversity and misfortune and regret. So when a relationship falls apart for us, or when we lose a job, or when we lose a loved one, what resonates with our souls is not, tonight's going to be a good night. It's not Party in the USA, or yes, even Old Town Road Songs like that just fall flat when you're going through a season like that, right? When we're in a hard season, when we're in a season of chaos, what resonates with our souls, what our souls need to sing and hear, is the blues. I think if the great country song writers and blues writers were to go to the Bible for inspiration, then they would feel right at home in Psalm 22 and other psalms like it, which we call Psalms of Lament. I do want to spend a little bit of time talking about what lament is and why it's in the Bible, because I think a lot of times when we come to psalms like this or other parts of the Bible that are full of lament, we kind of just struggle with what to do with it. These parts of the Bible can feel kind of foreign and almost like we're not sure what to do with them in our lives today as Christians sometimes. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this. So first of all, lament just means to feel or express sorrow. When we use that word, that's all we're talking about. If you've read the Psalms before, you've probably come across plenty of lament psalms. These are the psalms where the writers cry out to God in distress. They ask questions. The lament psalms love questions. How long, Lord? When will you deliver me from this, Lord? Where are you, Lord? In contrast to psalms like Psalm 150, they have a much more somber, distressed, even sometimes dark tone. And so when we do come across passages of Scripture like this, we can feel some tension with what to do with them. Because as Christians, we're supposed to be joyful, right? The New Testament tells us to consider it joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. It also tells us to do everything without complaining and arguing. So what should we do when we come to these Psalms of Lament? Should we just kind of leave them tucked away in some corner of the Old Testament? Well, I believe that not only should we not gloss over these Psalms, but that if we were to read them in our devotional lives with the Lord and learn from them and let the Lord shape us in reading them, that our lives and our faith would actually deepen in a big way. And here's why. Think back to a time here in your life that was a very painful time. Was there a person during that season of your life, a well-meaning person who came to you and told you that everything was going to be okay while you were still reeling? If you were able to politely thank that person, then I give you kudos this morning. If you told them, on the other hand, that doesn't help right now, please leave, or some other variation of that, I wouldn't blame you at all. Because they came singing Miley Cyrus when what you needed to hear was the blues. We live in a broken world that suffers from the effects of sin. We experience disease, broken relationships, betrayal, death, all other kinds of suffering. So, a faith that doesn't acknowledge the reality of suffering in a broken world or allow us to express the pain from that suffering is not a faith that touches the ground that we actually walk on each and every day. It's not a faith that takes life in a broken world seriously. So what lament does in the life of faith is lament helps us faithfully sing the blues. Lament psalms help us faithfully express to God the reality of sadness, anger, and disappointment while maintaining trust that God is good. All right, that's kind of a statement that just explains the purpose of the lament psalms. Lament psalms help us faithfully express to God the reality of sadness, anger, and disappointment while maintaining trust that God is good. Another way to say it is that lament doesn't show a lack of faith, it shows a faith that's strong enough to be real and genuine before God, even when what's going on inside of you isn't pretty. And so the Bible gives us a treasury of lament psalms, inspired lament psalms, whose words, when we read them in seasons of chaos, can really resonate with our souls so that we're left saying, oh man, that's what I'm feeling right now. That's what I'm going through right there. Those questions, those are my questions. So I want us to look at three lessons this morning as we start to go through Psalm 22 that this psalm can teach us about how to faithfully lament during chaotic seasons of life so that our faith can not only hang on by a thread when we go through these seasons, but can actually grow even deeper roots when we go through seasons like this. So the first lesson I think we can take away from this psalm is that lament gives us permission not to be okay. Let's go back and read the first two verses. The psalm starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. This is a psalm of David. And we can clearly see here that David is not doing okay. He feels forsaken by God, like God is far away and not listening to him, and like he can have no rest in the middle of his unanswered prayers. So as he feels this, he expresses to God exactly what he's feeling. And I know that some of you all this morning, like David when he wrote this, are not doing okay. I know for some of you this morning, to get out of bed and get yourself ready and come to church was a really hard thing to do. Because you knew that there was a good chance you would hear an upbeat praise song that in no way really meets you in the place where you're at right now. You knew you'd see hundreds of smiling faces and people who have it all together. People who would ask you how you're doing, and if you say, I'm doing fine, you'd be lying. But it'd be a whole lot easier than telling them how you're actually doing. Than saying, actually, I'm really struggling with depression this week. Or actually, I know it's been a while since I lost my loved one, but I'm just really missing him this week. And I'm not sure how to move forward from here. Or actually, we just got a bad report from the doctor after months of prayer, and it feels to me this morning either like God isn't listening or he's not there at all. I know that some of you are in that kind of a place this morning. And psalms like Psalm 22 show us that when we're in a season like that, we don't have to deny it. We don't have to just stuff it down, especially before God. He already knows what's going on in your life, what's going on in your heart and your mind, so you can let your guard down and just be honest with him about how you're doing. I think Psalm 22 also shows us that the church can and should and really must be a place where we can sit down next to a friend in the pew beside us, or across from the table at Life Group, or across the table from coffee, and not have to force a smile if we're not doing okay. The church has to be a place like that. And psalms like Psalm 22 teach us that it is okay to be real when we're not doing okay. Secondly, I think we can learn from this that lament helps us start the process of healing. There is something healing that takes place inside of us when we're able to faithfully lament. I think we could all do really well to learn from our friends who are a part of recovery programs that the first step on the road to recovery is admitting that you have a problem. The first step in healing from past trauma or the loss of a loved one or the relationship that didn't work out is acknowledging what happened and learning to accept that hard reality and its consequences and then beginning this process of grieving. And I know that process looks different for different people, different circumstances and personalities, but acknowledging the suffering is the first step to healing. Notice what David does after his opening lines of lament to God. Let's go to verse 3. He says, "Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame." So David acknowledges his suffering and the hardship of his life and in the lament of the first two verses. But then he's able to take a step back and catch a glimpse of who God truly is in the middle of the storm that he's going through. And this starts sort of a pattern in this psalm where David will say, "God, here's how I feel," followed by, "But God, here's the truth of who you are." He does this again in verse 6. He says, "But I am a worm." This is how I feel, God. "I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." God, that's how I feel, but verse 9, here's who you are. "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God." Acknowledging and accepting pain through lament can begin to work healing in our hearts so that we can begin to see again who God truly is. When you're in the middle of chaos, rarely can you see what's going to lie on the other side of it, right? You can't really see how things are going to work out on the other side of whatever it is you're going through. You can't see how God is going to work through your life circumstances. But what you can do is you can look back and remember all that God has done and how he's worked in your life in the past. And so that's exactly what David does here. He says, "God, I feel forsaken. You feel far from me. You're not answering my prayers. I can't figure out what you're doing. I can't see what lies on the other side of this. So I'm going to flip the pages back a few chapters in the story so I can remember who you are." That's what he does in verse 3. "Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame." God, you feel far from me right now, but I remember that you delivered my people from slavery. You brought them out, God. You heard their prayers, and you did something about it. Because that's who you are. That's right. I remember. That's who you are. As this psalm continues, we can see that, yes, David is suffering. He's in a dark place. But as he laments, he is able to remember who God is and how God has acted in his past, in the past of his people. And so he is able to affirm that, yes, my trust is in God. And there is going to be a path of healing that will bring me out on the other side of this. That leads to our third and final point about this morning, and that is that lament points us to Jesus. You might recognize the opening lines to Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because it is these exact lines that Jesus quotes while he was on the cross. Matthew says it this way in his gospel. From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? One principle that's good for us to apply in reading Scripture, moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament, is that if there is a certain principle or command or any kind of aspect of life with God that is named in the Old Testament and then named once again and renewed in the New Testament, then that principle is very much good and valid and should be applied in our lives today as Christians. So, when we go back to the Old Testament, when we read these Psalms of lament there, and then we go to the New Testament where we see Jesus who lamented the corruption of Jerusalem and wept with Mary and Martha after the death of Lazarus and cried out these words of lament from Psalm 22 while he was on the cross, we can see that our faith is absolutely one that has room for us to lament too, just like Jesus. A faith whose God died on a cross is a faith that has plenty of room for us to lament too. Now notice again the other references to the cross that are in this psalm. These are what we read earlier, but I want to look at them again. Verse 7, all who see me mock me. Just picture Jesus on the cross here and see how clearly these verses describe what's going on there. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And then again in verse 16, dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. These are some of the clearest messianic words in the Old Testament that point us to Jesus and the death that he would die. If you're a circler, if you're an underliner of verses in your Bible, these would be great ones to underline because they so clearly show who Jesus is going to be when he comes in the New Testament. But think about this. In the mystery of God's sovereignty, as he inspires David to write this psalm, he knows the kind of suffering that Jesus will endure on the cross that will lead him to cry out these very same words in a psalm that actually describes his own crucifixion. And if that wasn't amazing enough about Jesus quoting these words from the cross, consider this. It was a common practice of rabbis in Jesus' day to quote the first line of a passage of Scripture to really invoke the meaning of the whole passage. So when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yes, this is a cry of one experiencing unspeakable suffering. But it is also very possible that in saying the first line of this psalm, Jesus is really intending the message of all of Psalm 22 for what is taking place there on the cross. And if that's true, then listen to how this psalm ends. Verse 27. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Even in the moment of ultimate suffering, even as Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus trusted that victory would be won on the cross. So as he cries out in agony here, this is not a faithless cry. This is a cry that is filled with expectation for what God will do, even through that darkest of moments. So for us today, with whatever it is that we're going through, when God seems distant, we can follow Jesus' example and truly lament. We can cry out and pray, my God, why have you forsaken me? All while trusting that God is still good and that somehow, even if we can't see it, that he will work good in our lives. When we're in seasons of chaos, we don't come before a God who is clueless about what we're going through. We can express our hurts to Jesus because he knows what it is to suffer. He freely chose the cross on our behalf so that we could live, and he endured its pain and its shame for us. When we're wondering where God is and what he's doing, we can remember that we are praying to a God who loves us so much that he came to earth, he walked in our shoes, and he died for our sins so that we could live in relationship with him. He went to those lengths, and he is not about to give up on you. When we've fallen into sin again and feel like God could never love us or forgive us because of our own sin, remember, your sin was nailed to the cross with Jesus, and because of his grace, it no longer has to define you anymore. When everything around us looks and feels like death, you can trust your heart and your life to a God who time and again brings life and beauty out of the ashes, because that's just who he is. By his death, he has conquered death, and he is making all things new, including you, including your life. When we faithfully lament like Jesus does, we declare that suffering doesn't have the last word. And we're going to declare that truth in a moment in a song of response. We'll be reminded in this song of the truth of who Jesus is and all that Jesus has done for us. But before we do that, I want to leave a little bit of space for us to first tell Jesus how we feel this morning, how we're doing right now. Because I know a lot of us are in a season of chaos right now. There are questions that are on our hearts and minds. There are disappointments that we have. There's anger inside of us. And so this morning, I just want to leave a little bit of space for us to lay all of those laments down before the Lord and begin to work that process of healing in our hearts, wherever you are in that process, before we sing this song of response. So just right where you're seated for the next few moments, music is going to play in the background. And I would just invite all of us to lay before the Lord whatever laments we need to lay before him this morning. Then we'll sing.